Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, y'all. I literally just did a little kick in the air. You know why? Because we had to clear out the studio. Me and Jeffrey came in here. We're like, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun. It's Thursday night. The week is winding down. Tonight is our Friday. Yeah. What are you doing this weekend, Jeffrey? Anything magic?
Yeah, my brother's graduating, so I'm super excited.
Well done.
Gonna do that. I'm probably gonna go to Almost Acoustic Christmas. So
that's right, Jimmy Eat World's performing.
Jimmy Almost Acoustic World.
I'm not going this year. I went last year when it was at the Forum. I got to see 30 Seconds to Mars. Got to meet Jared Leto backstage.
Ooh.
It was something.
That
was something. It was something. What am I doing this weekend? Let's just say that the past couple weekends been a little rough. Had a lot of friends in town. Had partial cold, partial going out too much. So this weekend I'm planning on just chilling and relaxing, not doing too much. I'm excited about.
Okay.
Also, maybe I'm going to take you to Pura Vida because I owe you a dinner.
Because you
hooked me up with my my laptop problems.
She's a techie.
You're my tech advisor. I appreciate it. Question of the night. It's up on our Love Line IG page. Tonight's question is, what are your rules for sending or receiving nudes? Like how we don't even ask if you want it. We just assume everyone's in that world of sexting. And so we just want to know the rules. Because there are rules. Because again, the whole purpose of sexting is eroticism and courtship. Not to make someone feel bad or to weaponize it. So yeah, there's got to be rules because you're supposed to be flirting. It's flirtational. Again, courtship. It's supposed to feel good, pleasure, fun. Ah, we're not allowed to have nice things. Y'all misuse everything. Anyway, that's our question of the night. And later on the show, we got Rebecca Ishida with us. So we'll be doing a little couples therapy and then some freak on the streets. But right now, let's talk about some stuff. So look, y'all know I'm not up on everything happening in pop culture. I'm not into celebrity gossip. Because it's gossip. I don't think gossip is healthy. I think it's quite toxic. And I think that everyone should just be left alone. But there was something that was said. I did a little digging and I wanted to just weigh in on this. So Justin Timberlake was in the news because there was a photo of him with his co-star, Alicia Wainwright. They were off filming a movie in New Orleans and he was holding her hand. So of course, the internet blew up saying, why would he do that? How could he do that? He's cheating on his wife. La, 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 la. Okay, couple things. Number one, I remember when this happened with Anderson Cooper. So Anderson Cooper was seen with this guy, this personal trainer from LA, someone I know, and they were always together because they were boyfriends. And then there's a photo of Anderson out. I think he was either kissing or with somebody else. And they're like, oh my God, he's cheating on his boyfriend. My public statement was, you guys don't even know their relational rules. They were in an open relationship. They do open relationships. Anderson does not do monogamy. So he wasn't cheating on anyone. Y'all are too monogamy centric. Y'all, if you want to be monogamous, that's awesome. There's no right way to run your relationships. I'm all about monogamy. But don't make assumptions. I don't know what's going on with Justin and Jessica Biel. They might be in an open relationship. Nonetheless, he was made to feel bad. So he gives a public apology on Instagram. Justin, you do not owe the world an apology. You didn't hurt us, but we personalize celebrities' relationships and we feel wounded like it was done to us. We all need to mind our own business. If he wants to hold someone's hand, that's between him and his wife. He doesn't need to apologize to us. So he comes out and apologizes, saying, a few weeks ago, I displayed a lapse in judgment. Let me be clear. Nothing happened between me and my co-star. I drank too much. I regret my behavior. I should have known better. La, 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 blah, blah, something, something. You know, live your life, kid. You know what I mean? Maybe you had a moment of closeness and you wanted to hold your friend's hand, your co-star, because you guys were talking about something deep. I don't know. I want to live in a world where I can be in a monogamous relationship and be completely committed and in love with someone and then have a powerful night with a friend of mine and, like, I don't know, put my head on their shoulder or hold their hand or just do something affectionate to just go a little bit deeper or to honor that we just did something intimate and not have that mean that I ruined my relationship or broke some vow or harmed someone or think I have to give a public apology to the world because somehow the world is, you know, I'm accountable to them for what I'm doing. This is called toxic monogamy. You know, when we run our monogamy in a toxic way where everything's a threat, you know, and I don't want to live in that world. So let's do a little better. Like, he's got to live his life. I don't know what the meaning in that was. He doesn't owe us an apology, but Man, I heard so much about that. People were freaking out. All right. Let me climb back off my soapbox. It's odd sometimes the things that trigger me. You know what I mean? Like, that was a little random, but, I had some sand in my bathing suit. I had to shake it out. All right. So an online retailer, Pretty Little Things. My buddy Tess Holiday models a lot of their stuff. What's up, Tess? Come on the show. Oof, she's a hard one to get on the show. Chick works too much. Okay. Online retailer, though, they display different size models side by side so you can see how the clothes look. How did no one think of this yet? So instead of using body shapes that match about 1% of the culture's body, they actually accommodate the other 99% by having a larger size and a smaller size. Makes sense, right? Because the purpose of a model, I thought, was to show us what the clothing looked like on a human being. But if the bodies don't look like ours, then it's really not, succeeding at that, right? So that's awesome. I think they should all do that. There should always be two or three options of the same, outfit on a different body. I know if I see a model wearing an outfit, I know it's not going to look like that on me. I'm not 6'2". I do have a 30 inch waist, which is tends to be the standard, so I can at least account for that. But I got a big butt and big legs. So I always have to buy things that have a little stretch in them. Those tall European models, I'm like, oh, y'all have flat butts. I got a big booty. I got to be able to squeeze it in those pants. Okay. Tonight's one of those nights where we're just going to be like kind of off the rails, apparently. So this is important too, though. TikTok, for those that aren't familiar with TikTok, it's a social network video app. More than 1 billion downloads. Bam. Well, on Tuesday, they admitted that they had set up policies that were suppressing the content of those that were disabled, queer, and fat. I mean, that's the trifecta of the minorities that tend to be targeted in our culture on pretty much within every system and institution, fashion, film, sexuality, eroticism, all these things. But they admitted, yeah, we had a bunch of policies trying to suppress their content. So when I was seeing all these headlines about it, I thought, that's messed up, right? What an act of violence and oppression. Now, when I found out what it was really driven by is they had set up a policy trying to protect those that got the most bullying. So that actually made sense. They were flagging users who used certain hashtags that fell under those categories like fat, disabled, rainbow flags, LGBT, and TikTok. Their spokespeople said, look, our approach was never intended to be a long-term solution. We're no longer using them. The intention was good, although the approach was wrong and we've changed them, but we were trying to protect people with what we thought were anti-bullying policies. So I get that, but that's the content we were all looking for. like I don't need to see all the cis white hetero people doing what they do all the time. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see some fat bodies, disabled bodies, queer bodies, because for me, that's healthy. I like to see creative, diverse forms of being in the world that normalizes, that makes me feel good in the world. I can't handle conformity and uniformity. I think that's unhealthy. And I think that makes us question who we are, comparative culture. Anyway, so they changed that. So that's cool. We all need to see more diversity, right? Not, normativity. Okay. Apparently tonight's just going to be on a soapbox, but that's me every night. All right. Coming up next, we can talk about green flags for dating. Yes. Red flags, we all know. We've talked about it. We're going to talk about the green flags. Really important stuff. It's coming out of attachment style theory and research. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is rules for sending or receiving nudes. Yeah, we're going to learn some rules because there are rules. Got to be rules. It's courtship, man. It's about making people feel flirted with, cared for, turned on, but not assaulted. Not assaulted. I was telling that story about how people were airdropping in widely concentrated areas of people some penis pics. Oh my God. The fact that people will utilize any method of technology for that kind of stuff, it's wild. Haven't had that happen yet, though. But anyway, lots of states are working on laws to make that illegal. Gotta keep them airdrops off. I've accidentally airdropped headshots to someone that wasn't the person I thought I was sending them to, so that's cool. Yeah. You done that?
No, not headshots, but I actually, I've met someone who airdropped their resume to someone.
Oh, sure.
And got them a job.
Oh, see? Things happen. Yeah, I love stories like that. There's a story that went viral of a woman who sent an invite to Thanksgiving to someone who was not her grandson. And he's like, yo, you're not my grandma. Can I still get a plate? And she's like, come on by. And they did it 4 years in a row. And there's a picture of her. She had him over. It's adorable. Yeah, kindness. It's rare. That's why we geek out when we hear it, because it's so rare. All right, so we're going to be talking about green flags. We talk a lot about relational red flags. Let's talk about some green flags. I was doing a training 2 weeks ago, I think, in Seattle. And then I was a couple weeks before that in Chicago, all around the country. And this is one of the things that comes up in the training, is talking to clinicians, but also the general population, because it's kind of like a hybrid training. And I also do like a general population lecture. But one of the things we were talking about are it's basically rooted in what we call attachment theory. So attachment theory is a very hyper-intellectualized and academic area of study. It's interpersonal neurobiology, and it's basically looking at how we date. It's rooted in childhood behaviors based on their caregivers, but what I think is most relevant is how, as adults, how we see relationships and kind of learning about what our work is to be a better partner. And so we talk about different ways of having relationships. There's what we call having secure relationships, securely attached, anxious, or avoidant. And we all kind of fall into those three. We can kind of ping pong ball back and forth. And a lot of it's also rooted in who you're in a relationship with. They can trigger things, or they can just present in a way where we don't get triggered. Like if you're very anxious and the person you're around is also very anxious and you're both just very present and very clingy, all's well. But if you're someone who's anxious and always afraid of being abandoned, and you're dating someone or married to someone who's avoidant, you will always be triggered. And that is a very difficult configuration that I usually don't recommend. So much work in that. Okay. So what are the green flags? What are the signs that, yeah, this is a healthy person, this is a good relationship? Ready for these words? Because these are the words that a lot of people want but are struggling with. Consistency, availability, reliability, and responsiveness. That's heavy, because, you know, we have so many stories of people that are like, why aren't they getting back to me? Why, you know, why are their texts so short? Why does it take days? Why are they kind of popping in and out? So essentially you hear these terms in like ghosting, breadcrumbing, orbiting, like all these different versions of people kind of being present, but not really being present. So basically, you know, you've met someone who's really healthy / someone who's definitely interested if they're consistent, if they're available, if they're reliable, and if they're responsive. And I also give that to people. If you're in a relationship with someone or you're dating someone that you like, show up as responsive, reliable, available, and consistent. Because one of the things I talked about also in this lecture is how every time you're dating, there's two different models or methods of dating. There's the authentic, honest version, or there's the game playing and manipulative. And some people still believe that in order to get someone, you need to play a game or be manipulative. Yeah, don't be too available. Don't respond so soon. Don't act so interested. That only works for avoidant people. It only works for avoidant people. Healthy people do not like that. Healthy people will be like, wow, this person plays games, which means they're anxious and they don't feel secure, and I'm out. Because interested people like signs of interest. And so if the person likes you, they will appreciate when you show up consistently, as available, reliably, and in a responsive way. And so you act that way as well to see how they show up to that. If they don't show up well to that, then that means they're avoidant. Good to know. If they show up right back that way, they're secure, they're interested. Great to know as well. And so always lead with that stuff. We don't want to be making people feel anxious in order to get them. And that's what the gameplay manipulation is. I'm going to act avoidant to trigger their anxiety, to make them feel unsure as a way to keep them hooked, or as a way to present as not that interested or available. That's not what dating or relationships supposed to be about. But that's what a lot of people will turn it into. And I hear that all the time in my office, where they're like, yeah, you know, I'm purposely doing this or doing that. And it's like, oh man, don't do that. Show up as yourself, show full signs of interest, be consistent and present, and they'll do the same thing. So that's basically what it is. Healthy people, they're going to effectively communicate. You're going to always know what's going on. Why? Because they're going to tell you. They're not going to be vague. You can ask direct answers and they'll have direct responses. It's a beautiful thing. So those are the key words: consistent, available, reliable, and responsive. My gosh, it's not that deep, right? But it winds up being so. All right, coming up next, it's finals time for a lot of people. So we're going to talk about some self-care during the finals. It's a very stressful time. Yes, producer Jeffrey was a big fan of this one. Coming up next, listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, I'm back. Question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is rules for sending or receiving nudes. Because we know you're going to send them and we know you're going to get them. We want to know what the rules are. Why? Because it's supposed to be about courtship.
Yes.
Right? Not assault. Oh, man. I hate that I even have to say that. You know, sex is supposed to be one of those few things that, just like a donut, it's supposed to just be fun and feel good. It ain't that deep, although it's so deep. There's so much depth to it. It's one of the most complex things in the world, but it's supposed to be rooted in fun and pleasure. We just really infuse it with so much. We really do. We'll talk about that another time. I could go on and on and on and on. All right, so let's talk about self-care tips for those going through finals. I do not miss those days. I really don't. But some things to think about, because it really does become a mental health issue. So first one is stick to your self-care routine. Whatever you traditionally do as your foundational daily self-care routine, this is definitely the time to hold on to that. It's really easy during times of other priorities like finals, even things that are like concentrated and short-term, to let those things go and to think, well, now's not the time to really be worrying about those other things. But it absolutely is, because if you're not taking care of yourself in the most foundational ways, then everything on top of that is going to kind of be rocky and fragile, and you want to be at your best. So whatever your daily self-care routine is, stick with that. Don't drop your daily routine. So this is the time to strengthen that. And when you see finals coming, that's also the time to really start to strengthen that. Also, don't forget about your basic needs, because that's the other thing that happens. And I've seen that happen with myself when I've had like a book deadline or an article due, is you stop worrying about eating and sleeping and staying hydrated and all those different factors that, again, are those foundational pieces that are required for our mental health, but also to stay focused and to be as productive as we need to be. So again, don't let go of those things. Check in on that. Am I eating? Am I sleeping enough? And am I drinking enough water? Because if you're not, then everything else you're doing is going to be at a deficit. And also, you want to be eating really highly nutritious foods, because again, that's what powers your brain and gives you the energy. You don't want to eat less dense, nutritious foods, because those are going to give you spurts of energy, and then you're also going to crash. And it's all about sustainability. So again, keep your self-care routine going and focus on those basic needs. Also, you got to take breaks. And again, the only way I can relate to this is, again, when I have deadlines, you got to take breaks. Squeezing things in, actually, it's harder to retain them. We can retain things in smaller chunks. So you got to kind of learn what your natural rhythm is. For some people, they study an hour on, 30 minutes off. Others, maybe 3 hours on, an hour off. Others, maybe 5 hours on, an hour or two off. But you got to have a rhythm and a flow. It can't just be that you try to cram it all in and power through. It just doesn't work. Your productivity drops. And again, it's all about the sustainability. So focus on that. We talked about the nutritious meals and snacks, because that's, again, something that's hyper important. But also fun. And that's the thing that people kind of leave out of this. Don't set yourself up to be miserable. You still want to squeeze in time to have fun and to socialize. And that's not slacking off. That's not being lazy. That's not having your priorities in the right place. That's having a better balance. Because again, if you're only rooted in what you're trying to study or trying to get done, you're going to start to spike your anxiety and overwhelm yourself. And it's going to start to work against you. So you also want to build in some fun. Are you listening to this, Jeffrey? Because you were saying you actually need some of this. Yeah. But we have more tips on our website. We are channelq.com, so go check that out. All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs, and then we're going to be doing a little couples therapy with Rebecca Ishida. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Yo, Cyndi Lauper, big fan. Her and friends, they have a concert, Home for the Holidays. It's a benefit. She's going to be doing the Home for the Holidays concert for the True Colors United at the Novo in downtown LA. It's on December 10th. Special guests that are going to be there are King Princess Kesha, Brandi Carlile, Lily Tomlin, Margaret Cho. It's a whole list. It's going to be awesome. Go to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win. Pair tickets, wearechannelq.com. Cyndi Lauper. And 100% of the net proceeds from the concert support the True Colors United programs. I want to go. Big fan. Okay, time to slide in those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. D, I have a personal question for you. When I see that, I'm like, ugh. If someone wasn't attracted to you, would you prefer them to be honest and blunt about it, or would you rather they lie? Like saying right now is not a good time or something. Asking because this recently happened to me, and I'm not sure if I'd prefer them to lie rather than basically call me ugly. Okay. What you need to do is, I like people to have clear communication, not honest, but clear communication. So what that means is, if someone's no longer interested in you, I want them to communicate a lack of interest. They don't need to necessarily tell you why. Although some people are like, I don't know why, I don't understand. We don't always need to know, because we don't need to know that they found us ugly. I think that's obnoxious. And what people will do is they'll internalize that as though they're not desirable universally. And it just is that they're not desirable to that person. So no, I don't want someone to say like, yeah, I don't think you're attractive, but it's okay and necessary for someone to say, hey, the chemistry wasn't there, or I don't really feel like we're compatible. And that can mean a lot of things. And I don't need to know why. I just need to know that you're no longer interested. interested in hanging out with me. So yeah, I want someone to be direct and clear. And I've said that to people, and they've said it to me. Hey, it's been great getting to know you. It's not something I'm interested in continuing further. All the best. And I'm like, yo, thanks for letting me know. Take care. Awesome. I've said to people before myself, hey, the chemistry doesn't really seem to be there. Not necessarily interested in moving forward or hanging out again. You know, it's been great getting to know you. And they're like, great, thanks. So it's about just being clear and honest about where you're at, but you don't need to necessarily tell someone that you think they're attractive or not, because I just think that's not kind. And again, people internalize that and it'll attack their self-esteem, and they'll feel differently going out into the world. And one person's attraction is someone else's something else, right? So yeah, no one needs to tell you that you're ugly. It's horrible. But some people will push. They'll say, I don't understand what's going on. And it's like, I tell people not to do that, not to really push for understanding. It's confusing. It's confusing, but you might be walking yourself into a conversation that's far more painful and hurtful if you force them to at some point say, yeah, I don't think you're attractive. Like, that's horrible. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world and we want you to explore the confidence. Coming up next, couples therapy, and then we'll be doing a little freak on the streets. So listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and now it's time for some couples therapy. So, of course, we've got Rebecca Ishida, licensed therapist, with us. What's up, Rebecca?
Not much, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're going out on a date tonight.
I am.
You're wearing a lot of fruit.
I am.
You got watermelon earrings
pineapple watermelon
shirt.
You don't know what I got underneath.
So, let's find out, though. Is this whole fruit situation, is this to, like...
No, I just wanted to say that. But, yeah, I'm not sure what the fruit is for. It's just it's just cutesy. I like it.
Cutesy. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're trying to communicate something. Sweet and juicy.
Yeah, sweet and juicy. That's good.
I could see you... Yeah. I can see that being an adjective for you.
Yeah.
All right, we digress. I don't know how we get off on these tangents, me and you. I've known you too long.
I know,
we can just
go
strange places. All right, so let's talk about this whole concept of, you know, people get into long-term relationships. Sometimes they've had sex partners or romantic partners prior. But either way, people can find themselves in these existential spaces where they're wondering, am I missing out on something?
Yes.
So do you have that coming into your office clinically? Because I have.
I do. I've definitely had that in my office. And... you know, it's a difficult thing, because I see it as a combination of, yes, a relationship issue possibly, but oftentimes it's more about existential crisis,
right,
or a midlife crisis. This idea that I have something and I think it's good, but could there be something better?
Right. And I like what you started by saying, is that it doesn't necessarily mean it's anything about your partner or your relationship.
Right.
That even in the most loving, truly connected, compatible relationships, one could still wonder what else is possible.
Correct. And also feelings of emptiness. Sometimes it's good to look at, you know, evaluate and wonder, someone maybe has a low level depression or they have some anxiety, and that's how it's manifesting.
Beautifully said. I never looked at it like that. So, and to resolve maybe the anxiety or the depression would resolve the existential pieces coming
Correct. Right. Sometimes people look at it maybe the other way around. Like, maybe if I had a threesome or did something or had, you know, sex with somebody else or
left my wife
or
my kids.
Left my wife and
my
children.
Moved to a different city and got
exactly.
a new job. Yeah.
Like, maybe that will solve it. And I really encourage people to really work through that and process it before they come to such a big decision.
It's interesting. I was talking about this in my office in an unrelated way about how we're living longer and longer. And so people are in long-term relationships far longer than we have ever in history. And that at some point, because of medical technology, we might be living to like 150 or 160. And in theory, people could then have the capacity to be together for like 120 or 130 years. Like, sit with that. What existentially would come from being in a committed long-term relationship for 140 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it so much depends on...
My mind would wander.
The person that you are and who, you know, the way that you view things. Like, in my mind, that sounds fantastic, because I like the idea of like stability and commitment,
right,
and
consistency, familiarity.
Right. That is what turns me on. So for someone else, they might be like, oh, this is really old and vanilla. What do I need to bring in?
Tonight, we're talking with Rebecca Ishida, licensed therapist, in our couples therapy segment about this whole idea of being in a long-term relationship and your mind can sometimes wander regardless of the health or compatibility in your relationship, wondering like what else is out there. So for me, I look at it sometimes as it depends on the structure of your relationship. If you're with a partner who allows you certain levels of freedom, maybe nights out with your friends, alone time, some independence, it might be easier. But then there's some people that run their relationship in a very reduced,
rigid
compartmentalized way where you're made to feel bad if you want to go out with your friends, mm-hmm. regardless of what age bracket you're in, that you're made to feel bad if you want to do things alone. And I think that could maybe amplify that. And sometimes maybe the solution is just talk to your partner about allowing more freedom and space.
Right. Right. I mean, I think that makes sense, but sometimes I've seen, people who actually seem to have the freedom, they have a good sex life, maybe they're sex daily and they're using toys and they're exploring and they're doing all of these things and they're still dissatisfied.
Yeah.
So that's where I might move to. Let's look at your anxiety. Let's look at if there's some depression going on. But absolutely, what you're saying is always the first place to go, I think. Sometimes people seem to have it great, but it's like, oh, could it be better?
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, because it's like the tyranny of options.
Especially nowadays, right?
Yeah, because I mean, the truth is, every time you make a choice, you are missing out on something else. Every time you choose
FOMO.
Yeah. Anytime you choose a restaurant, you're missing out on the capacity of having gone somewhere else. Every time you see a movie, you're missing out on having seen something else. Mm-hmm. Every time you move to a city, you're missing out on what could have happened somewhere else. So there is this part of like reality means you do at some point have to make a choice and there will be a loss based on that. But what's interesting is those that I've worked with that have gone the huge route of leaving a relationship, you know, it doesn't always promise mm-hmm. what they thought it would promise.
Right. No, absolutely. Because it's the power of fantasy, right? The idea.
The power of fantasy.
Right.
That's right.
Like, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be better. And things in your head often seem so much better than the reality of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also dating is such a different experience these days where individuals that are newly single after decades of having been out of the dating game, and I say to them, oh, yeah, it's going to get real interesting. We start talking about online technology and how that shifted things and hookup culture. Get ready. You're going to learn a lot.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I know. And I've mentioned like every time I'm here, like it is so different. Right. We know that.
Yeah. It's a very, very different game. I mean, but you know, for those that haven't listened to you on the show prior, that's your experience. I mean, you came out of a 10-year marriage and
actually 13.
Okay. 13-year marriage.
Yeah.
So you are just yourself newly experiencing this mm-hmm. new dating world because mm-hmm. when you met your husband, these things were nowhere near.
I don't even think the internet was out yet.
Okay.
You know? And so I met him at a bar.
Remember that kind of stuff?
Yeah. And it, you know, there was something very exciting about organically meeting people.
Yeah.
It was really fun. And now we go out, we don't necessarily go out with the idea of meeting someone because we meet people through our phone.
Right.
So we're looking at our phone when we're out.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a different experience. So we don't rush home to check the voicemail in our little machine.
Oh, I remember being in New York City and having change to put in the payphone to call my voicemail at home.
Yes.
It was a physical box.
Yeah.
And you typed in a code and you could hear it echoing boop, 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 boop. And then it would play messages. And if someone was home, they could hear me calling in because it would play and echo throughout the house.
Right.
It was a wild, wild time. Producer Jeffrey's making these faces like, what planet is this?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And the box sat there. It was a tape recorder, a literal tape recorder. And if someone was home, they could hear you calling in and they'd hear it playing. It would echo.
Right.
And you would hope that the person you're wanting to call called. And then you would, if they did, call them from the payphone at their home. And if they weren't home, you couldn't get a hold of anybody.
Right.
I don't know how we ever. Yeah, you left a message and you hope that they would check in and get the message.
Right.
I mean, like back then, I don't know how anyone got a hold of anybody because if you weren't home, you were not available, period.
But it probably also reduced your focus on a variety of people, too.
Oh, it did.
Right.
You were so limited.
Yes.
You were inherently limited because you could only, you could only connect with so many people. You could only, such a weird time. Anyway, we're rambling all over the place. Rebecca Shida, where can people find you?
They can find me at Hungry Becca on Instagram or at RebeccaShida.com.
And good luck on that day tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Taking those watermelons out. That's our earrings. We'll check in on it next week, all right?
Okay.
Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little Freak on the Street and then Question of the Night. So weigh in on that. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and Radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
Loveline with Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right. Cyndi Lauper and friends, the Home for the Holidays benefit concert. Kind of love this one. 100% of the proceeds go to the True Colors United program. That's a program by Cyndi Lauper. She's actually quite an activist. But special guests are going to be there with her. King Princess Kesha, Billy Porter, Lily Tomlin, Margaret Cho. Awesome show. Go to wearechannelq.com for your chance to win tickets, a pair of tickets. I got to get in on this. But basically, her True Colors United work is about ending homelessness for LGBTQIA people. 40% of youth are homeless. That's such a heartbreaker. All right. But anyway, we are channelq.com to win your tickets. You got to do it. Before we get to Freak on the Streets, I love this. Ready? An entire study was done. Entire study had to be done just to tell us that sexual images are just as arousing for women as they are for men. Ah, thanks, science. Time and money well spent. Every now and then I laugh. I see these studies and I'm like, yeah, you could have just given me a call. I would have told you for free in 2 seconds. But yeah, so just so y'all know, sexual images are arousing for women. Well, because there was this, you know, again, there's so much neurosexism and sexism within science and research. And we used to believe that men were more visual. We used to actually believe men are more visual. Really, all of them? Really, every single man? Really? No women at all? Really? Gender doesn't matter. Socioeconomics doesn't matter. Cis or trans doesn't matter. Stuff is ridiculous. You know, science hasn't really caught up with what's going on. But anyway, thank you, science. All right, now for some Freak on the Streets. All right, what you got for me?
Hey, Dr. Chris. What's up? I've been going out with my girlfriend for a few years now.
Okay.
We're living together, and I have a lot of fun with her, and I have a great time living together. I was just wondering, do you have any advice for keeping our love life consistent?
Yeah, don't live together. We're now talking about living separately. It removes all those little small things that people fight about. You know, it's funny. Living together is such a stage of development for relationships. People don't take things seriously until you're living together, or they think it's more serious when you're living together. You know, it isn't. But I get it. I like living with people. I can't wait to live with someone again. You know who I'm talking to. But yeah, I would say this, a couple things. One, chill. It's one of the most, I say it in different forms in my office all the time, like, go easy on each other, be kind. When you live together, it amplifies everything, right? That containment. It also adds new things that get on our nerves. But to keep the spark going, it's all about newness and novelty. And it's actually not as hard as you think, but we tend to fall into patterns and habits, and that actually kills sexual arousal and excitement. So keep things new and novel. We fall into patterns. Break it. When you have sex, where you have sex, how you have sex. Get away from the idea that sex is always penetrative. Be more fun than that. Sometimes it's just about one of you. Sometimes it's mutual masturbation. Sometimes it's toys. Sometimes you're watching porn. You know, sometimes you're just being an exhibitionist or voyeurist and watching the other one. You know, it's just not always the same thing. So you got to kind of break it up, shake it up. Keep it new, keep it interesting, because again, patterns and habits will kill it. So from the door, enter, always switching it up, keeping it fun, keeping it interesting. Don't get boring. All right, what do we got next? Oh, okay. So we don't have anything else next? No? Okay. We had another Freak on the Street question, but somehow we're having a technical difficulty, so that's okay. So I'm going to tell you a little story, because I'm done with that one. So ready for this one? This falls under the category of, yes, shake your head along with me, because these kinds of things, it blows my mind that's still happening in 2020. So there's basically a wrestler, 12 years old, Trista Blaz. I don't know where she is. Where is she? It doesn't matter. But essentially, she's really talented. She's a high school wrestler. So she gets offered a position on the wrestling team, junior varsity. So she gets sent to the school physician. School physician writes a note that says, girls don't play boys sports in Lancaster. So basically, the school physician's weighing in on this one. Well, luckily, the Lancaster School District superintendent says, actually not true. Mixed gender high school sports teams are for all students who qualify. I like this kind of thing, because I think, and a lot of people battle me on this one, that sports should be about people that excel. And everyone that's great and can make the team should be on the team, and it shouldn't be gendered. Why? Well, because not everyone falls into male or female gendered. Where do intersex people go? Where do people that are actually neither gender, right? We're going to literally get to a point where we can't have boy sports and girl sports, because people fall in between those categories and outside those categories. But we like to use those to confine people. So anyway, put the damn girl on the damn team. Let her wrestle. You know what I mean? I have no idea what you're saying to me over there. Okay. Are we done? We good? Question of the night is up on our Loveland IG page, so we can still weigh in on that. That's about rules for sending or receiving nudes. Yep, because you're going to get them. Talk about those rules, and then we slide in into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Oh, man, we're back in the saddle. Rules for sending or receiving nudes. That's right. Question of the night.
Question of the night.
All right. So what you all got for me? Rules for sending and receiving nudes. All caps. Ask me if I want them first. Jeez. Yeah. Because again, it's about flirtation. You're not supposed to assault someone with your body pics, right? You want them to want them. You want them to be turned on by them, right? It's supposed to be a communication. It's supposed to be courtship. Yeah. Hey, You want to see some stuff? Take the temperature. You got to know your crowd. Someone else said, I don't do it. Well, that's a good rule. You just don't do it. I'm down with that. I'm not. If I'm dating someone, I think sexting for me is an important part of courtship and flirting. And for me, it really lets me know how comfortable they are. Body pause, sex pause helps me keep close. And so, like, it's an important thing for me, actually. Like, I get nervous if someone's not comfortable with that. I respect people that aren't, but for me, it's important. Someone said, no faces. That's a good one. It's a good one. A lot of trust is involved. If you don't know someone, don't trust them, don't include your face. Totally support that. Someone said, don't show your face or tattoos. That can be identifiable. Yes. Yes. Some of us are covered. So it's hard to show any body part that doesn't involve tattoos, such as myself. But I hear you. I hear you. I mean, I have one of those rules where I'm like, you know, again, we've talked about this. Revenge porn laws say that sending someone photos does not transfer ownership. So sending someone naked photos does not mean that they now own them and can do what they want with them. You have to get explicit permission from the owner to get the ownership. So they'd have to literally say, I give you ownership. You can do what you want with these, which is not what happens. So I want people to remember that, you know. Other rules for sending or receiving nudes. Someone said, ask before sending. Yeah, it's really that basic. Ask before sending and then be cautious because you can't always trust people. That's what's such a disappointer. People aren't mature enough to know that once your feelings get hurt or something ends, that you don't have a right to weaponize something that someone used to get close and get to know you or flirt with you. But that's what people do. They don't know how to manage their hurt feelings. And so they try to harm someone by sending them, posting them, sharing them. And that's just not what it's about. It's such a misuse. We all gotta have more compassion and grow up a little bit. Someone else said their rules for sending, receiving nudes. Yes, please. That's my rule. Yes, please. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Sex body pause over here. I'm down. Yeah, my rules are pretty open. Like, if you're comfortable, I'm comfortable. You know what I mean? And if I'm not, I'll be like, yeah, you don't need to send those anymore. Thank you. Someone else said, for sending, two words, no face. Agreed. Although if I'm dating someone, I like a little face, but I understand people's precautions, but I'm mature about it. Like, after I'm done seeing someone, I delete them. I actually wind up often, if we're not going to talk anymore, deleting the entire text thread, all the messages, because I don't feel like I have a right to have a log of that or to be able to utilize that or do something with that or have someone find it or whatever. I tend to just delete all of it, which is what I recommend. Use the photos for what they're for and then get rid of them. Like, that's actually being really ethical about it. Someone else said, for rules for sending or receiving nudes, only send via Snapchat and no taking screenshots. Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people only use Snapchat for. And some people immediately are like, get on Snapchat. I'm like, nah, if I'm not looking for that, I'm like, I'm cool. You can text me. Why? What are you writing down over there? You writing that? Snapchat? No spank bang pics. Yeah, I know. Someone else said, as far as the rules for sending or receiving nudes, turn off live photo if you have an Apple device. Ooh. Wait, why? Because then it'll show you... It'll show you, like, face and then yeah, dropping down.
It shows you, like, a couple seconds of, like, them setting it up or, the post.
See,
after. Like,
I don't know how to turn that off.
And there's audio in it, too.
Is there there's a thing in your settings?
Yeah, in your settings. I'll show you after. Basically, if it
Thank
just
you,
says
sir.
On top,
Thank
live,
you.
If
yeah.
you take a picture, basically anything that's happening bloop, 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 right before bloop. And after.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Rules for sending receiving nudes. Someone said consent. And I usually send it to someone I'm already sleeping with. Yes. Yes. Consent. Consent always. Consent, consent, consent. Consent and compassion, right? Compassion. There's got to be care as well. Well, not just someone saying yes. Someone else said their rules for sending receiving nudes. I don't show my face. Yep. Again, because then it just becomes an unidentifiable body. You know, can't do much with that. Yeah, that's all we got. Y'all, that's all we got. I thought this would be one of those ones where a lot of people would have a lot of thoughts or opinions like, don't, never. But yeah, a lot of people have been harmed by it. It's such a bummer. Oh,
what are your thoughts on people sending other people's nudes instead of their own if they're like a well-known figure or a public figure?
But pretending they're theirs?
Pretending that they're there. Maybe like they
sending
their,
a random body
their
that's
skin
not
tone
theirs?
Maybe like looks the same
or
something.
Guess.
What are your actual thoughts on that?
Because
it does happen even on Grindr.
Well, like just send your own. If the picture looks like yours and it's so unidentifiable that people would think it was really yours, you could just send yours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they look similar enough where they would think it was you, then you could really send yours because it looks similar enough. Yeah, it's a funky world out there. Oh, the world of sexing. I can't wait to see what comes next.
Just send them over to Loveline. Why not?
Yeah. Loveline's always open. We're always ready. We're always happy. Consent, consent. We consent. Loveline consents. No, it's an interesting world. I'm wondering what's going to happen next. Like, what's the next evolution going to be? Because even now from, I think, Snapchat, Facebook, and Instagram, you can call people, right? I've accidentally, like, someone I don't want to call that has sent me a message or a photo, and I'm, all of a sudden I'm like ringing them on my phone. I'm like, oh, hang up.
That literally just happened to me during break. I like swiped, I went on someone's Instagram, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen them in forever, and it said call on there, and I accidentally hit it.
That doesn't need to be there.
And
I'll
it notified them, and they called me a few minutes later, and I'm like,
No, I'll use my phone if I want to call. Thanks, bye. Yeah, that's a weird one. All right, coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com. All right, we're back. Now it's time to slide into those DMs. Sliding in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. So my ex-husband was bisexual, which I knew and accepted. We divorced a year ago after some infidelity on his part. We have no children, and we do not speak. I work in an admissions office, and my coworker recently got a new boyfriend. We are not close, but I congratulated him, and I was shocked when he pulled up a picture of my ex-husband. I said some pretty nasty things. Am I in the wrong for being upset that my coworker is dating my ex-husband? How can I better cope? You're not wrong for having feelings, but you. I don't know what you mean by upset. If you mean mad or just I'm sad. Or uncomfortable, be sad or uncomfortable if that's what you are feeling. Like, you're always allowed to feel the feelings you feel, but you can't be mad at this person or your ex-husband for connecting, finding love, moving on. You know, and that's kind of what I want everyone to know, that, yeah, it's sad or hard when we see an ex of ours or someone we wanted to date dating someone else or someone we know, but we don't own them. And when we're no longer with someone, everyone's free to figure out if they can be together and to date and to try to find love. And I want us to be supportive of that. I don't want people to be off the market because they're someone we dated once. And I hope you're not implying that, especially because you're not close. But even if you were close with your coworker, I'd want you to honor that. Like, hey, that was my ex-husband. Really hard to see that you're together, but clearly I don't own him and we are not together. And so you both get and have a right to figure out if you can be together. And I will manage myself around that. Like, that's what I'd want you to say. I wouldn't want your coworker, if you were closer, to be like, oh, let me stop dating someone because you're uncomfortable. I don't want your discomfort to be as legitimized as this person's interest in dating or being with someone. You know, I want us to learn how to manage ourselves a little better, but feel sad, feel bad, reminisce, go through the feelings that come up around it, but don't punish your coworker in any way, covertly or overtly, and try to be happy that maybe he's going to be with your ex-husband and they'll create something that you weren't able to, right? I respect highly that it's hard to acknowledge what you have to kind of face. But again, I want you to be happy for them. So yeah, you know, be sad, but don't take it out on them. How can you cope better? You know, a couple different things. You said you aren't close as coworker, so remain a little bit distant so you don't have to necessarily hear the daily goings-ons and having this person share with you what's going on in their love life and all that. But if this person is closer to you than that, you can let them know, look, this is really going to be hard to hear, but that's an ex of mine. And so I'm going to ask you if you could kind of keep me out of the loop and not share with me what's going on, because it's really hard and uncomfortable for me. That's a very honest adult conversation, but that's what you need to have. So if you're distant enough from this coworker where you're not going to really be keeping up with what's going on in their life, then kind of all's well and maintain that. But if you're close enough where you're going to have to hear this person talk about his new boyfriend, then I think you have a right to kind of just say, hey, listen, I actually know that person. We were together and I don't really want to hear about it. So please kind of keep me out of that loop, because it's really hard to hear about that unless you're in a position where you're going to say, look, I want to learn how to be better than that and be over it. And so I'm happy to kind of try to support you, but stop with the nasty talk, because again, remember, there are some people that keep traits with them and move them into new relationships. And then for others, everything's kind of co-created, and who we are based on who we're with is not who we'll be with someone else in the future, right? Because we're always responding to them. And they're responding to us. So anyway, you know, it's a tough one though. I can't imagine having that happen. That's definitely not something easy. So, all right. Slide in the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. We'll be back on Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern. As always, our show is podcasted at wearechannelq.com. So you can go back and listen to shows, post them, share them. And as always, thank you for hanging out with me, and y'all have an awesome, awesome night and an awesome weekend.